Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. Well, Swiss voters went to the polls on the last day of November, and they soundly defeated an initiative that was aimed at the country's central bank and its monetary policies. The measure would have required the Swiss National Bank to maintain 20% of its currency reserves in gold. It would also have prohibited the central bank's sale of Swiss gold in the future. The defeat of the initiative was a disappointment to gold investors because its passage would have required the Swiss National Bank to buy something in the order of 1,500 metric tons of gold over the next 5 years. But it was also a disappointment, Dr. Paul, to many of us who believe in sound money and free market monetary systems and would like to see the money printing central banks of the world reined in before they wreak their havoc on the entire global economy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It would have been neat to see it win by 80%. I really didn't expect that. And I think the markets didn't expect it either because, you know, the real correction in gold was occurring before this, assuming that it would be negative news. It was interesting to see that the immediate reaction, it was even more negative, but that didn't last long. But, you know, I've said before, and I continue to believe, that it still is very, very good that the referendum occurred, even though the numbers didn't favor the return of a gold standard. But it's not going to happen that quickly. And there's a tremendous interest in a lot of banks and governments and central banking to not disrupt the fiat system. And this is the reason there's always an attack. This is not the first time we've seen an attack on gold. It's been going on for a long time. But to totally destroy the gold standard, if you assume that they started working on that the day they passed the Federal Reserve System in 1913, well, you know, they really closed the door on it totally and completely by 1971, you know, a little over 60 years it took. So I don't think we're going to have our snap our fingers and all of a sudden the adjustment is just too much. And that's one of the reasons I've supported over the years the idea that you have a transition period, you have competing currencies, and just legalize the use of gold and silver. You know, talk about legalizing the Constitution, since that's supposed to be what we use as legal tender. So it wasn't that big a surprise, but I think it serves a good purpose, mainly because I've compared it to my efforts over the years on calling attention to the Federal Reserve. And even since the first time I went to Congress in the 70s, I would join, you know, populist Democrats who even back then wanted to rein in the Fed and they wanted an audit of the Fed. So the effort's been going on for a long time, but it was only in recent years that we were able to get the people alert enough to insist their congressmen, you know, even think about an audit of the Fed. And to get that passed a couple times in the House, although we didn't get an audit of the Fed, there's a lot more people that know about it. So I think this whole idea, and even the referendum, is just a small portion of what's going on in the world today, because we have some countries repatriating gold. I think Holland did it rather quietly, and others have talked about it, like Germany, and asked for their gold, and they're not getting it. And we do know that the East, including Russia and China, India, they are accumulating gold. At the same time, we in the West are diehard Keynesians, say, well, gold is not money. And up until recent years, the central banks were dumping gold, but they're certainly not buying gold. So I think the movement is in our direction because this economy can't last. Their economic system is completely fouled up. And I think we can be assured about the Mises's prediction as early as 1912 that socialism can't work. He was equally critical of interventionism, that is the planned economy, central economic planning, especially with the idea that central banks know what interest rates ought to be and what the money supply ought to be, and then they get involved in regulation. That can't work. It's going to end just as the communist system ended. It will end. So I am delighted that the debate continues because that means a lot more people, and I think even the establishment, even our opponents out there, know that something is going to happen. Some of them are naive to believe that they are so smart that they can handle anything and that they don't have to resort to gold. But history shows that gold is most likely to win out because it has over the many centuries. literally thousands of years that people try to get around it, but gold always wins. Now, we don't know exactly how that will come about, but I think we can be assured that the idea of creating capital out of thin air doesn't work. If that were the case, nobody would really have to work very hard. But, you know, I've been told by, central bankers like Greenspan and Bernanke that capital comes, from the Federal Reserve. They print it and they loan it out, and that becomes capital, and people invest in it. And Greenspan told me that, well, when the prices of houses go up, that's like a savings and that's like capital. Well, that really isn't. You have to get capital out of production. And I think those economic laws ultimately will rule. And even with the short vote on this gold referendum, it still, short-term traders might have argued, well, if it go down that far, you know, maybe somebody's going to say gold is dead forever because they just proved that nobody wants it and the markets are against it. But I don't think that is the message. I think it's just another step in the right direction of alerting the people that they have to think of an alternative to the fiat dollar standard that is has engulfed the world and has caused so many distortions and so much debt that even though politicians are incapable of allowing corrections to occur, and I understand that because it is not exactly the favorite thing to do, but markets will demand a correction. And that, of course, there's a contest going on. The market wants deflation and correction, and politicians want spending forever. And when there's a contest going on, you end up with stagnation. But one of these days, the stagnation will turn, and everybody will know in which direction we're going.
Most of the discussion about the Swiss referendum had to do with the provision that 20% of its central bank reserves be held in gold. But the other component that was interesting to me was the provision to prohibit the Swiss central bank from selling gold. This was really a response to the episodes of these genius economic bankers back at the beginning of the new millennium, when the British government, Prime Minister Gordon Brown, sold 395 tons of British gold at the very bottom of the market for an average price of $275 an ounce. It was such a boneheaded move for people that pretend to be economic geniuses. The Swiss, to their shame, did much the same thing. They sold about half of their gold in the same way. This is part of the central banking war on gold. And I know you will remember, Dr. Paul, when the United States Treasury was purposely auctioning gold purposely to realize the least possible return for the gold that it sold.
Well, yeah, you know, they really attacked gold because some of us worked a long time on getting gold re-legalized. It was ridiculous that we lived in a free society, and between 1933 and 1976, that we were prohibited from owning gold. Once it was re-legalized, they did not want to see the gold price shoot up. Of course, that was discounted before the technical date and the price had already gone up, and there are various factors there. But in addition to the market reacting in a certain way, the Treasury came in and they dumped gold, and they got the IMF to dump a lot of gold. So the combination of the two, you know, it didn't dampen gold on the long run, because gold had been 35. And it went up to $200. And then with this episode, it went back down to 150% of the dollar value was lost. And they thought it was all over. But that was really the only beginning of that decade. And it didn't really stop skyrocketing until it hit $800. But they're capable of doing it. But I don't worry a whole lot about it, because I expect that from governments. I expect it from central banks. And I expect them to lose ultimately. And I just think it means that if you're involved in the day-to-day trading, the people who do that, which I couldn't possibly do, they have to take it into consideration. If a government comes in and dumps, they better be ready, you know, to trade a certain way. But long-term, the fundamentals, I think, are reliable. The timing is another matter.
I'd like to get your comment on the rather wild ride we had in the days surrounding Thanksgiving. You had, of course, the Saudi action in OPEC, and its continual production impacted the oil market quite strongly. And suddenly, the day after the Thanksgiving holiday, on the Monday following Thanksgiving, not only did gold rocket up $46 or more, but crude recovered several bucks as well.
Yeah, this was a dramatic change. And actually, the intraday low and it going up, it was more like 60-some dollars. So it was a tremendous reversal of what was happening. You know, I think it's characteristic of markets that operate in terms of fiat money. They're very unstable. You know, back in the old days when there was, not floating rates, you didn't have future markets in currencies. You know, that wasn't even in the market. And just now they trade them into the tune of trillions of dollars. And today there's so much of that manipulation. So you see these gyrations, but I think that will get worse. But ultimately, hard assets are going to go up. But countries also, get involved in these competitive devaluations. You talk about establishing capital. They don't do that, but they also think that the only salvation to an economy is having a weak currency. So they purposely try to weaken their currency so that exports will be increased. But what they don't realize, there's a quick adjustment through inflation and long-term. People don't get wealthy by stealing from the people. Yet it's a clear policy of our Fed right now to deliberately charge the people 2% of all their saving. So if they're not making any interest and they're losing the devalue, they want it 2%, to have inflation at 2%. That to me is immoral and wrong and not a way to grow an economy. And yet that is policy and people hardly blink an eye. But I think that's part of this whole system of trying to figure this out on the short term. I think a lot of people that say sell off and then buy back and you drop gold goes down 50 and up 75. It doesn't mean that these people who buy and sell actually believe that gold is weak. What they're doing is they're sitting back and they're anticipating, what are the traders going to do? Am I going to participate in the trades? So it's a guessing game on what the trades are going to do. So you could be a hard money person and still say, oh, there's going to be a vote and this vote means this. So I'm going to sell gold short and do these things. But I think in terms of long term and the fundamentals and where capital come from, what free markets are all about and why the system that we have today cannot survive. And I think more and more people are starting to realize this, because eventually the telltale sign will be the inability to maintain the debt levels, because as time goes on, we always have to expand the debt levels. And I guess just recently we saw our national debt pop up over $18 trillion. So there will be the day that it'll break the back of the economy.
Well, if central banks or monetary policy aren't brought back into reality before long by the people through political measures like the Swiss gold referendum or your audit, the Fed measure, it's certainly going to be done for them by the markets, isn't it?
That's for sure. And I think we're getting closer and closer to this. And otherwise, you're going to have a lot more poorer people because you don't have real economic growth. All you do, if you don't get rid of the debt, all you can do is shuffle the cards and take the burden of debt away from the privileged, the mortgage dealers and Fannie Mae's and Freddie Mac's and different people. You take it away and you give it to the taxpayers in the case of, say, the bad mortgages. And the Fed is still buying bad mortgages. They're up to $1.7 trillion of mortgage-backed securities. And, if they were worth something, they could put them on the market and sell them. But that's not going to happen. I think they're going to hold those mortgages for a long, long time. So not only have we monetized, federal debt, we now monetize individual housing debt to a large extent, and that just can't go on.
Well, they're going to try to monetize student debt and monetize pension benefit guarantees as well. Dr. Paul, thank you for another informative conversation and podcast. And don't forget to hear Dr. Paul's perspective and his comments regularly. You can subscribe to our weekly podcasts at iTunes. I'm Charles Goyette.